When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fibre to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi Voice app calling, Office 365, and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button below and the bell icon to be notified whenever we go live on air. I'm very pleased now to welcome Telkom CEO Sipho Maseko to discuss the group's annual results for the year ended 31 March 2019. So, Sipho, welcome to the podcast and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Your mobile business has shown incredible growth in the past year, while fixed lines have remained under pressure. If you keep up this incredible rate of growth in your mobile business, you could displace Cell C as the country's third largest mobile operator in the not too distant future. Do you see this incredible pace of growth continuing over the next year or two, or will there be some moderation going forward?
Well, I mean, it will depend on a couple of things, Duncan. I think it will obviously depend on the economy. If the economy continues to be soft, it always impacts how you acquire customers, number one. Number two, it will obviously be informed by what the roadmap is around spectrum. We are very thoughtful about not being seduced by the growth at all times. So we moderate it and we look at how we are able to carry the burden of expansion. And thirdly, it will be informed by how we execute on the roaming agreement with Vodacom. Mm-hmm. It gives us a bit of a national footprint, but we also don't want to be too stretched. So segmentation becomes important, really targeting the areas where we want to lead, especially where we could have a network that essentially is 4G, that we can use what I might call 4G backhaul to be able to really give meaning to our desire to lead in data. So the intention is to sustain it, but sustain it in a way that is not reckless.
Sure. Now, your mobile CapEx accelerated to about, I think it was about 3 billion Rand in the last financial year. Yeah. What does the CapEx outlook look like to support and sustain the robust growth you're seeing in your mobile business? And what does that mean for Telkom's debt position going forward?
Yeah. So our CapEx guidance remains between 16 to 20% in terms of intensity relative to revenue. This year, we came out at about 18%. We are keeping the CapEx guidance going forward. Mobile will probably be in the realm of that sort of 3 billion in terms of CapEx intensity. And remember, we've done two things. Number one, we're roaming on the Vodacom network. The second bit is that we have what we call the passive infrastructure sharing agreement as well, where we can access Vodacom masts and towers, but essentially you'll be on the Telkom network. And that enables us to manage roaming costs. So where roaming costs run away from us, we'll obviously migrate the traffic to our use our equipment and carry that on the Telkom network. Mm-hmm. So we constantly assess the CapEx intensity almost by mast or by tower to make sure that we are able to really maintain that growth going forward. Secondly, we're strengthening the backhaul, the packet optical transport network. And we've been putting a lot more fiber to our base stations in the last year than before. So you'll see that we have passed we've passed a lot less homes with fiber. So the primary focus has been fiber to the base station and fiber to the enterprise. The ARPUs are dimensionally bigger there, but insofar as serving our own purposes, once you have backhaul between your towers, you're able to carry a lot more traffic and therefore your backhaul costs, you are able to check them properly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the new roaming agreement with Vodacom. You've implemented about 80% of it so far. It's due to be completed by the end of next month when your roaming agreement with MTN expires. You're obviously, as you've said, you're keen to keep as much traffic on your own network as possible. What sort of percentage of your mobile traffic do you expect to be carried on your new roaming partner's network, and what is your target in that regard?
Yeah, so in terms of, maybe let me start with MTN. I think we probably had about 3 to 5% roaming data, and we had about 10% voice roaming. Mm-hmm. And remember that we manage that roaming percentage also using some of our CapEx as a lever. Mm-hmm. So even when we are growing, I want to keep that roaming traffic at those levels or below that. And that is why we constantly monitor the traffic. And when we get to a point where the traffic is such that the cost of roaming actually justify putting our own structure on the ground, we do that. And that is why we're managing both the cost, the OPEX and the CAPEX in that way. The benefit with Vodacom roaming is that it gives us seamless handover, mm-hmm. and immediately it gives us a national footprint, and we can start to have access to other markets that previously we wouldn't have access to. The enterprise market, that begins to be a lot more accessible for us because we can offer a country presence. So for us, actually, it's a partnership that is actually very, very good for both ourselves and for Vodacom.
Right. And this deal is not just about roaming. You're going to have access to Vodacom high sites, and I think they're going to have access to your high sites as well. How aggressive will your rollout be on Vodacom towers, and what will that allow you to do?
So we have a formula. We have a formula that we've agreed to in terms of number of sites that will have to be made available on a monthly basis for us to be able to access the passive infrastructure, which we call deep passive infrastructure sharing. And that will enable us to manage the cost of roaming. And obviously enable us to also keep the right discipline relative to the CapEx that we put into the mobile business. And for us, that's that. And also how we start thinking about distribution as well. Because once we start having a lot more roaming traffic and we deploy CapEx to support it, we then have to think about the totality of the ecosystem so that, you know, you have reselling points, you've got distributors, the price points are right, you've got the right stores to be able to support that growth there. So that's kind of how we're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the mobile industry broadly in South Africa. And there's been talk for years about consolidation, and Telkom has been leading a lot of that talk. Do you think there's still need for some consolidation, or do you think four operators is the right amount in this industry? And related to that, have you now firmly walked away from the possibility of a deal involving Cell C?
Yeah, I'll start with the last one. Yes, we have. We have walked away. We were public around that, and that's okay. Insofar as your first question, I personally think consolidation is inevitable in the market, not just in the telco sector, but also some of the adjacent businesses in content services. If you see what's happened, for instance, with AT&T and Time Warner, and you look at some of the things that Verizon is looking to do, look at some of the things that Vodafone wants to do with Liberty in Europe. So the coming together of some of these services, content and telecoms is inevitable. We approached it differently because we went more IT, because we're looking to support our enterprise business, and that's why we acquired BCX. And I have no doubt in my mind, Duncan, that this will continue into the future.
And on the network infrastructure side of things, are four players in the market sustainable, or should there be less?
Well, on the network infrastructure side, I mean, partly one of the things that why we are setting up our property real estate is because we actually think that consolidation of that infrastructure is also inevitable. We'll have to find ways and means in which we can extract a lot more as margins come further and further under pressure. Consolidation of infrastructure will become easier because then, you know, you get the one grass cutter guy to manage the grass. You manage the services that you're able to deploy there. You can be able to optimize the cost. That's one of the reasons why we have broken away to form Gyro and a very clear mast and tower strategy, because we think that at some point a consolidation at that layer is inevitable, and we want to make sure that we can start creating a lot more value that will in a sense, have us at the same level even when we come together with somebody else.
Your share price has run up very strongly in the last few months, and analysts I've spoken to have said it's in part due to the opportunity in your Gyro property management business. What is the sort of book value of the properties on your books, and how much value can you realize from those properties, do you think?
Yeah. So we're having an investor day on Wednesday, and we'll be releasing quite a lot of that information, and we'll also put it on the website in terms of how we have begun to put some form of valuation underneath our property business, and also indicate how far we are insofar as the strategy of commercializing that that asset portfolio is. So for now, I'm afraid I won't share the numbers with you, but from Wednesday onwards, the numbers will be a lot more public. And I think not just the numbers, but also the strategy that we will be pursuing. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that shareholders will be pleased to see that.
Well, I look forward to seeing more of the details about that at the Investor Day on Wednesday. I wanted to ask you, Sipho, about your staff numbers. They've declined by about 12 or 13% in the past year, and obviously they've come down massively over the last 6 or 7 years. How close are you now to having the optimum level of staff in your organization?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's very tricky, Duncan, to say, you know, as we're evolving from legacy network, from copper to essential and IP network, you also have to transition the skills that you require. In the past, for instance, in the old copper network, you needed a guy to go up the pole to fix a fault. Now, as we're putting a lot more software-defined networks, you need a software upgrade.
Right,
so you need a different kind of person, but you also don't need a lot more people. So we still think that there's a lot more to do there, but we're not just looking at people costs. We're looking at all costs, direct costs. We're looking at distribution costs. We're looking at the totality of the OPEX so that we can continue to get to the right ratios of revenue to OPEX, revenue to direct costs. I still think there's an opportunity there to get to the right levels. And we will not abandon the cost efficiency path just in pursuit of the growth path. We're going to want to do both at the same time.
I know we are almost out of time, Sipho, but I want to squeeze in one last question the company that's been in the news for the last week and a half or so. And I'm talking, of course, about China's Huawei. I know much of your core network, or certainly a significant chunk of your core network, is built on Huawei telecommunications gear. How do the developments affect Telkom? And by the same token, will you continue to sell Huawei smartphones to consumers given the risks and uncertainties that are surrounding Android?
Yeah, so there's a lot of uncertainty indeed. We've been engaging with Huawei in a number of ways. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was in China to meet with the senior leadership of Huawei to understand how are they mitigating all of the issues around them. Last week, Friday, I met with the first citizen of the country as well to share with him some of the concerns that I have. And I think it's not just me. I think it's an industry concern and how we need to have the right country response to the whole issue around Huawei. How do we make sure that ourselves and we're looking to coordinate our efforts so that we can be able to brief the president in the right way so that it is not just something that we showed ourselves. We've got a bit of exposure, but on the fixed side, remember that we had followed a dual vendor strategy where we had Nokia and Huawei. And then on the mobile side, obviously, we had gone with Huawei. But we think that we have invested quite a bit of time to make sure that we can mitigate this. We've modeled how much it would cost us if we have to replace the Huawei core network. What does that mean? And that is why we want to take it more as a sort of macro issue, as a country issue, not just a telecom issue, and lean on the support of the president and the Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Foreign Affairs and etc., to make sure that South Africa and hopefully Africa as a continent has a coordinated response around some of these matters.
Very interesting indeed. And just the question around Huawei smartphones, will you continue to range them to consumers, given that there's this risk that Huawei may no longer have access to Google's Android operating system?
Yeah, so, I mean, up until now, there's been, in a sense, an intention by the U.S. government, and we obviously are keeping tabs of all of the sort of back-channel diplomacy that's taking place. We'll still make it available, obviously, with the right levels of disclaimers as well. Mm-hmm. This afternoon, I'm meeting with Huawei again to make sure that we have the right model and the right incentives and the right disclaimers that we can be able to build in, so that whatever that happens between now and when there's finality on these geopolitical issues, we are not put at risk, but at the same time, we've been able to move the business forward a bit more.
Sipho Maseko is Group CEO of Telkom. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to Tech Central today.
Thank you very much, Duncan, as always.